T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 204 on The Fan, and a very good Tuesday afternoon to you. Benigno and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here, of course, till 6 o'clock. Big Mike Francesa, he'll come your way. I guess it's Ernie Acosta in Manhattan. I'm taking a guess. And, of course, we are live from the Town Fair Tire studio with nobody on top of that. Beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bro, how are you?
Bro!
How are you?
Bro, just wonderful. If I was any better, I won't say who I'd be.
Would you be?
I can't even say. I won't even say. We'll leave it to everybody's imagination. How's that?
That's funny. Do you remember last year at this time?
Do I remember last year at this time? June 30th, 2019. I'll say this, it was a lot better time in the world than it is now. How's that? I think I'm confident in making that statement accurately.
Oh, my God. I remember a year ago at this time was the day that the Brooklyn Nets hit the clean sweep.
Oh, is
Kevin
that the
Durant,
day?
Kyrie
Durant
Irving.
Durant and Kyrie?
Yeah.
I see.
Now look at everything a year later. They won't be able to field a team in Orlando.
And how about they're still not playing? I'm hearing that. So you got Wilson Chandler out. Did I hear DeAndre Jordan is out too?
DeAndre Jordan tested positive for COVID.
Okay.
And he's decided not to play. So I don't know if he was going to decide not to play either way, but he did test positive for COVID. Right. So best of luck to him, obviously. Hopefully he gets over it quick.
What's the deal with Dinwiddie? Did I hear Dinwiddie's up in the air with this now too?
Well, Spencer Dinwiddie, and this is what's concerning for Spencer. Forget about basketball for a second. Jokes aside about what happened a year ago today. Spencer Dinwiddie tested positive for COVID and is feeling, I think he described it to Shams as a tightness in his stomach. He's not feeling well. He's feeling symptoms from COVID-19. So best of luck to Spencer Dinwiddie. Hopefully he can overcome it. And, you know, reading what he said to Shams about how he took a private plane here, he came back in the market, he was working out, he's been very careful, and then he contracts it. And it's just scary. It's a reminder to all of us that no matter how cautious you are,
no
and I assume, you know, I trust Spencer's word, he's a cautious
no,
guy.
No doubt.
He's a smart guy.
No question.
That you can get it. And
of course.
I think what's also scarier is a lot of times we've heard about athletes getting this, and it's like, oh, they don't feel anything. They're asymptomatic. 2 weeks later, they're good to go. And here's an example of an athlete in Spencer Dinwiddie, and I'm sure we all know people who've experienced this, who is not just okay. He's not asymptomatic. He's got symptoms. So best of luck to him. He's basically said he wants to play. Right. And if he's up for it and he feels better, he'll come out and play.
Well, he's still got a month almost. I mean, he does, really. What, July 31st, right? Is that the start date?
That's the start date.
So
I think
he's got time.
He does, absolutely. And hopefully he's going to feel well enough. And if he wants to play, go out and play. But right now, And I'm never like this. You know me, bro. I don't care how bad a team is. I was actually thinking back to that year where the Nets won 37 games. Mm-hmm. They played Atlanta in the first round. Darren Williams had his finest moment as a Net, scored 35 points in a game four, took him to a game six. Like, I'm always hopeful that anything can happen in the playoffs. But without DeAndre Jordan, without Wilson Chandler, especially without Spencer Dinwiddie, right, if he can't play, Joe, why show up?
Look, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, I thought it was interesting. I just happened to catch the very, very end of Moose and Maggie's show. And Moose brought up a point which I think is very, very interesting. What if you are down 3-0, 3-1 in a playoff series, okay? And you are just figuring, you know what, we're not winning. I am tired of being in this bubble. And you basically just mail it in to get out of there. I mean, can't you see? He said that. When I heard that, I said, you know what? I don't think he's wrong. I mean, I could see that. Or a team, you know, he brought up the Wizards, who were whatever their record is, 24 and 40. Saying to themselves, you know, they go there, they lose a couple of games. Well, what the hell are we still doing here? Why are we here? We're not going to go nowhere. We're not going to make the playoffs. And I wonder if a situation like that, you get enough guys with the Nets, if you don't have Jordan, you don't have Chandler, you don't have Dinwiddie, you know you don't have Durant and Kyrie, what's the point?
Well, and also, do you want to risk an injury to Caris LeVert? I mean, do you want to go down there? And I'm not saying tank. I'm not even using the word tank.
I understand what you mean.
And also, you know
what
this.
What chance do you have? If you don't have those guys, you got no shot.
No shot. Look,
you know, I mean, you can play as hard as possible. I mean, maybe you get a game somewhere, but where are you going?
Without DeAndre Jordan, without Wilson Chandler, and I don't want to minimize what they are, but without those guys, I still think the Nets can compete with playmakers like Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert. They go small, they can compete.
Right.
If Spencer Dinwiddie can't play, Joe, they cannot compete. They can't compete. You can go sign G Leaguers all day. Tyler Johnson's going to run the point guard?
Yeah, no, I understand.
Mean, they don't have a shot, and as you know, and I never start to think too much about this, but I have to think about this, if the Nets miss the playoffs, they keep their own first-round pick. If they make the playoffs,
they lose
the first-round pick is gone from the Allen Crabbe trade.
Right.
So
this is the first time I'm ever hearing you say anything like this. So you are almost on board with saying, you know what? You know, we're just better off not making a playoffs. So let me get that first-round pick. We're not winning anything anyway.
Yes.
You know, I got four of them. You get four guys, really, because you got to include Durant and Irving, who aren't playing. Well, you know, we might as well get the first rounder, and let's move on to next year. I understand that.
First time I've ever thought that.
And it makes sense. You know what, bro? It makes sense.
Of course it does. Look, and I've heard from Net fans in the past who've argued that side to me before, saying, hey, look, this season's not going anywhere. Durant's not healthy, blah, blah, blah.
Tank it out,
keep the draft pick. And I always argue, hey, it's fun, you never know. I'm telling you right now, if Spencer Dinwiddie can't play, forget Jordan and Chandler, I've accepted that.
Right.
If Spencer Dinwiddie cannot play, and they're going down to Orlando with Chris Chioza as the starting point guard, and I like Chris, don't get me wrong.
He's up there.
They don't have a shot.
No, they got
so,
no shot.
So, great,
no
they
shot.
Can get the eighth seed and get destroyed by the Milwaukee Bucks, which I understand may have happened anyway.
Right, but at least you got a puncher's chance if you got those guys.
Right.
You got a puncher's chance at least to make it some kind of a competitive series. Let's put it that way.
No question.
Because you're not going to win.
Like they did in 2016 against Atlanta, or 2015 against Atlanta, when they were facing a number one seed, and they had a puncher's chance. They had a couple of good games. They forced it to a sixth game. Darren Williams had his finest moment as a Net, and at least for a couple of days, there was hope. If they have a season, and I'm skeptical of it, I really am.
You should be.
I've
been skeptical all along. I understand.
And I'm curious, when we talk to Sean Marks, I think we'll talk to him eventually, I would ask him, like, do you want to go down there?
Well, you know what, too? This idea with this bubble, I mean, I got to tell you, you know, I almost think that's worse than, you know, like what baseball's doing. At least you're out, you know, you're in the different parks. It's a different feel. I could understand where if you were an NBA player, you're saying, man, I'm stuck here for a long time.
Yeah.
And I could see where that could, you know, start to get the guys. You know what I mean?
No, sure.
I thought that all along, but now when you start to hear like some of the things that Moose was saying, well, I buy into that. I mean, I could see if you're down 3-0 in a playoff series, you say, well, you know, let's just lose this game and get out of here. We're not winning anyway.
As entertaining as entertaining as they're trying to make the bubble for players. Access to
appealing.
Video games.
As appealing, I think, is the right word.
As appealing as they're trying to make it, you're still stuck in a place.
Right.
And even though there's more of an openness to this NBA tournament or NBA playoffs and that, and I think that was my hope if the Nets went in fully intact. And I don't mean fully with Durant and Kyrie. I mean fully with
your
Spencer.
Your team from this year. The team that played most of this year.
Right, the team that mostly got to 30 and 34, the team that beat the Los Angeles Lakers in the last game they played, I would have gone into it with this attitude of, yeah, they're not as good as the Bucks, they're not as good as the Raptors, but you never know. Let's see. You know, there's an even playing field, like you mentioned, because there's no home court advantage. Let's go. Now they resemble a basketball team that really has no chance. They're going to be half a G League team, basically. And so for a team like that, for a team like the Washington Wizards, who really don't have a shot, yeah, I could see you going down there saying, I can't wait to leave.
Yep.
But I think there are competitors, a lot of competitors in this world that even when they're down 3-0, they aren't necessarily thinking, get me out of here. They may be thinking, let's make history. Let's go take it one game at a time. Because these guys are competitors. Yeah. They're trying to win. You know, I don't think Damian Lillard is going to say to himself, down 3-0, I can't wait to leave.
Yeah.
I think he's going to say, I can't wait to win.
I don't know. I don't know what a guy's mindset would be. I just don't know. I mean, I think it depends how difficult it is being there. You know, I mean, look, I think it's different if you're LeBron, you know, somebody like that, you know, or Giannis, who they have a chance to win the whole thing. But I wonder about some of these other teams, and certainly a team like the Wizards. I mean, you know, really, they got to be saying to themselves, well, how the hell did we get here?
You know? Right. I mean, glad they have the opportunity.
Got
to
be happy.
To be
if you, you know, let me tell you, if you're sitting there right now and you're the Knicks, you got to be happy. We're done. Well, we don't have to worry about any of this.
I got to tell you something funny about the Knicks. There was talk over the last couple of days about what was labeled the Delete Eight, the teams that didn't even make this tournament, about them actually staging some games and having games to keep guys sharp because it would be of such a long time between the season being shut down in March to when it reopens in December. And there were a lot of teams that were excited about that prospects. And one of the teams that had no interest in doing
it
was the New York Knicks.
I don't blame them. I mean, really, let's regroup. Let's hope we come up with, you know, well, obviously, eventually they'll name the coach. Hopefully it'll be Thibodeau or Atkinson or Woodson, one of those three guys to me. It's got to be one of those three. Anybody else, no thank you right now. But, you know, why not? You know, get the next lottery pick that you're going to get. Let's regroup and let's see where we are next year. You know?
But I think it's different for each individual guy. I could see why a guy like Julius Randle and Taj Gibson, specifically Taj. Taj has been in the league for a million years where he says, I don't want to go play in these meaningless games. But for a guy like RJ Barrett, for a guy like Kevin Knox, who's trying to improve their stock and just get better, if you miss the game, you love the game. You play the game because you love it. You end up making a lot of money out of it, but you truly love the game. I could see young players saying, yeah, I want to compete. I want to play real basketball.
How much the Knicks played, what, 70 games? What did they play, like 70, right?
Probably, I think it totaled like the low to mid-60s.
All right. I mean, you still played just about the entire season.
Almost.
You know, I don't know. I mean, how were you losing any sharpness? Now, I understand that the season won't start again until December. Right? I mean, next year is not going to start at the earliest. And I've heard now even people talking about, I heard Cuban talking about Christmas Day, Mark Cuban.
Right.
You know, but the earliest it's going to start is, I guess, December 1st or somewhere in that area.
Right.
You know, hopefully. Hopefully.
Because think about it. You ended the season 1 month early, and you're going to start it over a month late. So I think that's a part of it.
Right.
Look, I'm not saying they need to have these teams play. It's tough enough to get the real playoffs in, let alone asking lottery teams go play games that really don't count that also wouldn't have a great viewership. I'm sure there are diehard Knicks fans, really diehard Knicks fans, that would say, hey, give it to me. I'll watch. I'm into it. Let's go. But you're not going to collect a big audience for games that don't mean anything.
No.
But I can understand. My only point is I can understand a young player wanting to compete, wanting to play. I think it matters where you are in your life. You know, you look at a guy like Wilson Chandler and DeAndre Jordan, I understand why they don't want to go to Disney World.
No,
they're veteran guys, and they also probably want to save the bullets for next year and the year after.
And they got a lot of money yet, these guys.
Yes.
I mean, I think you got to always factor that in. I mean, DeAndre Jordan and Chandler, they've been around, like you said, a long time. I'm sure they got plenty of money in the bank. And, you know, it's just not that appealing for them at this particular time. Hey, I'd rather not even be there. You know,
no
I
question.
Get that. Totally no, get it.
But let me just say this a year later, because I'll never forget, and I don't know how I'm going to view it 5 years from now and 10 years from now. There's a long way to go. But I'll never forget June 30th, 2019, because it was surreal. Because in this moment, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the greatest, or at least the biggest free agent signing that the Nets had ever made was Armin Gilliam. That was the fact.
Who was a good player, by the way?
Who was a good player? I'm not trying
to... I liked Armin.
I am not trying to rip Armin Gilliam. I like him.
He passed away. I think he's gone. I think.
Yeah, and I have great respect for him. No issue.
He was a good player. Gilliam.
Good player. But that was the greatest free agent signing in the history of that franchise. And as the hours went on a Sunday 1 year ago, it was surreal. It was surreal when Woj tweeted the clean sweep of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and let's throw in DeAndre Jordan.
Right.
And I'll always remember Richard Neer as the guy who broke the news to me as I was driving to a Sunday Night Baseball Mets-Braves game.
Was that who did it, Richard
Neer? He's the one. He said, Kevin Durant is coming to New York. And then he paused and said, Brooklyn, New York. It was very well done by Richard. And just because I know you care, Joe, and probably more people care about this than the Nets part, the Mets came back that night and beat the Atlanta Braves, had a nice rally in the bottom of the eighth inning, and beat them 8-5. So it was a very good night.
That was a good night. I don't remember the game, but I'm sure I was happy about it.
Yeah, it was a Sunday night game. They were losing. Jeff McNeil actually got the game-winning hit. Your favorite
man.
Met. It was beautiful.
Indeed.
But when that night ended, I knew, hey, look, it's not about 2020. You want it to be about 2020, and you want the team to be better, but it's about when these guys are fully healthy. We're going to find out if this turns out to be this glorious day in Net history or just a footnote. And as we sit here a year later, I'd admit, has it gone well so far? No! Kyrie Irving played 20 games, and they were 8-12 in the 20 games he played. They got the head coach fired!
Yeah,
He's gone! And Kenny Atkinson. The league shut down, which has nothing to do with them, but the league shut down, and we're sitting here viewing this Disney World playoffs that are hopefully going to start in a month. So nothing about what happened a year ago today has, nothing great has happened in the last year when it comes to the Nets. But this decision, this signing, this epic moment that all 57 of us remember where we were when it happened, it's going to be determined by next year and the year after. And they better win. That's what it comes down to.
Well, I mean, look. I mean, to me, I it's a championship or bust. I mean, I think that's how you got to look at it. I mean, I know you said, look, if we get to the finals, I guarantee they get to the finals and they lose, you'll be deliriously ticked off.
Of course.
So, well, I mean, you know you are.
Look, there's two ways to look at this. When the Mets got to the World Series in 2015, I was ecstatic. But I knew in that moment, you better win. You don't win, you don't know if you're ever going to get back. Same thing when the Nets got there in 02 and 03. So, of course, in that moment, you've got to win. It's very difficult before anything of substance has happened to say, okay, this is what they have to do to make this a grand success. Obviously, the dream is an NBA championship. I've never seen it. I've never seen a World Series. I haven't seen it. So, of course, that's the ultimate goal. But I want them to be a championship contender because it's been a long damn time since the Nets or the Knicks could actually fashion themselves as a championship contender. And that's the hope. And that's how we're going to determine this. But a year out, look, nothing great has happened over the last year if you're a Net fan between Kyrie Irving wanting to start his own league, the head coach being fired, Irving only playing 20 games, which has to jump out at you as
a
concern.
It jumps out without him. Even 500 without him, right?
Well, they were 8-12 when Kyrie played, and they finished 30-34. So whatever the math adds up as.
Yeah, they were four games under with him, and they played 500 without
him. There you go. You're right. You're right. That's the math. They're 500 team.
Oh, man.
But it's
he scored 51 or whatever he got on opening. How many did he score on opening night? 51?
Great. They lost the game.
No, I know. I understand that. I know they lost.
They lost the game, and he tripped and fell on the final shot, got up, and actually got a good look at it.
Right, right.
Against the Timberwolves.
Right, right.
Oh, my. I'm trying to think of what's my favorite Kyrie Irving moment so far as a Net. He's been there for 20 games.
It has to be when he said that he wants to start his own league, doesn't he? Isn't that really
that may be it.
Top Kyrie moments.
But you know what? Also, today is. Today is a very symbolic day in Net history. It's kind of similar in a way to the day tomorrow is for the Mets. Tomorrow is Bobby Bonilla Day, which I think is very overrated, and we make a big deal out of Bobby Bonilla Day. But
what
that's
do you mean
the day.
By Bobby Bonilla Day. Explain that.
That's the
day
he
signed his contract where they paid him till he died.
Well, no. That's when they give him the $1.17 million every year. It's on July 1st.
Okay, well, that's I was pretty right about that.
Yeah, you're pretty accurate. It's not the day they sign him. It's the day they pay him.
Right, right.
Today, though, is the last day the Nets have to write a check to Darren Williams.
Are they still writing checks to Darren Williams right now?
Yes, because they used the stretch provision on him when they got rid of him. Kind of like the Knicks did for Joakim Noah. Like the Knicks are still paying Joakim Noah.
Well, really, the Nets are still paying Darren. I wonder how many guys there are in professional sports that are not playing anymore that are still getting paid by somebody that they played for. I mean, there's probably a lot of them.
No doubt.
Right? There's got to be a lot of these guys.
Well, I remember a few years ago when I was looking up the Bobby Bonilla contract, I saw that there are all other major leagues.
By the way,
good luck
paid if you're not working for the fan anymore.
I don't think we're getting that. There are other major leaguers who have been retired who still get paid, you know, once a year as some kind of deal that was made.
Right, right.
So Bobby Bonilla is not alone. But Darren Williams is the face of the past. And hopefully when I think of Kyrie Irving, I'm not going to be thinking about Darren Williams, because Darren Williams turned out to be a massive disappointment. When you think about his time with the Nets, he was a massive disappointment.
It wasn't good.
No, they had some playoff moments, kind of like the Knicks had some playoff moments during their past era. But ultimately, when you got Carmelo Anthony and I got Darren Williams, which were days apart, the hopes were win an NBA championship or at least compete for an NBA title. And the farthest that both of us went was the second round of the playoffs.
That's it. Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
And Darren's best moment was Game 4 against Atlanta, when he had a 35-point game and an overtime victory against the Hawks that evened that series up 2-2. That was it. That was his greatest moment. But he also scored 0 points in a playoff game against the Miami Heat a year earlier.
Yeah.
And overall, you know what? Here's the big difference between Darren Williams and Carmelo Anthony, and this is big. Darren Williams was miserable and didn't want to be here.
Right. That's the difference. No, that I 100% right there. And Melo's a better player. I mean, I think that's fair to say, too.
Yeah, I think when they were in their primes,
Melo
specifically for Darren in Utah, they were very different kind of players.
I just think Melo was probably better. I'm not knocking Darren Williams because he was on your team, but I just think overall he was probably a better player.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a Knick and as a Net, Carmelo was better than Darren Williams.
Oh, no question. That's a given.
That's a given. Over the course of their careers, Carmelo Anthony has put together a better career. When Darren was at the top of his game, and I think this is what's so frustrating for me, when he was at the top of his game in Utah, it was a legitimate debate on who's the best point guard in the NBA.
No, that's true. No, it's fair to say that. I would agree with that.
And that's what makes it, I think, so difficult, that even though Darren Williams didn't fall flat on his face with the Nets, he wasn't god-awful right from the get-go, he was never that guy.
But you hit it. You know, he was never happy to be playing for Brooklyn. I mean, that there's no question about it.
Yeah, and it's...
wasn't happy there.
You know, there's so many lessons on acquiring a guy who at first doesn't want to be here. Keith Hernandez didn't want to be in New York at first. Right? That was the legendary story.
Yep,
crying in the shower, the stems, all that.
Was never going to re-sign with the Mets.
Never going to re-sign.
Initially.
Right, right. And look at the way things worked out.
Yep.
He ends up falling in love with New York, signs with the team long-term, and in a lot of ways, all these years later, has become kind of the face of that 86 team. In a lot of ways, I think a part of it is because he's on TV.
Yeah, I think that's
a new generation.
He's still very high profile because of his, you know, like you said, he's on SNY and
everybody
sees him every game.
Big part of it.
Yep.
And so it worked out. There was a happy ending. And then you got a guy like Darren Williams, who they trade for and actually convince him to re-sign, mainly because he got the extra year. I mean, it's that advantage that you get on re-signing your own player when he had a chance to go to Dallas. That was the big thought. Is he going to go to Dallas? Is he going to stay in New Jersey / Brooklyn? He stays here. I wish he had left. It would have made life a heck of a lot easier.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
But this is the final day they have to send him a paycheck. So congratulations to Billy King. I know you're out there.
But Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid, right? Like for eternity.
Yes. Until 2035, I think, is when he gets his paychecks.
Wow.
It's a good deal.
So he's getting paid for another 15 years. What does he get? 1.7, you said?
1.17, yes.
1.17.
Yeah,
so he doesn't have to work for the rest of his life. He probably doesn't anyway. I'm sure he's got plenty of money anyway. But, you know, when you know, I mean, you know, oh, I got 1.17 coming in every year. You know, I got my feet up. Are you kidding?
And I got to tell you,
even I might get tired of playing golf after that. I don't know. Maybe.
Yes. Maybe. I don't know about you, but time has healed all wounds with Bobby Bonilla.
I have nothing but tremendous respect for Bobby Bonilla.
Because of the contract?
Oh,
or?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's brilliant.
Well, but what'd you think of him at the time?
I have great respect for people that do brilliant things. And to me, that is, you say whatever you want about Bobby Bonilla, He wasn't a great Met. I mean, he wasn't the worst Met.
No, he wasn't the worst.
No, I mean, he had some decent years, decent, you know. But the bottom line is, if you are smart enough to pull off that, I got to tip my hat to you. I have great respect for that. So I got tremendous respect for Bobby Bonilla.
But with Bobby Bonilla, and a part of me thinks of him as the face of the 93 team, which may not be fair. There were a lot of bad overpriced players on that team. And he wasn't, like you said, bad necessarily.
Right.
You know what I think really ruined it for Bobby Bonilla? And it's not just the $1.17 million every year. It's coming back in 1999. I think that's what crushed him, because he became stuck with the image and the thought of him playing poker with Ricky Henderson in the locker room of Game 6.
Right.
And he also was god-awful when he came back to the Mets in 1999. He was a pinch hitter off the bench. He had like 150. He was he was done.
It's funny. I don't even remember him being on that team, to be honest with you. When I think of the 99 team, I don't think of Bobby Bonilla at all. How many games did Bonilla play for them that year?
He played 60 games that year for the 99 team. He played 60 games and hit 160 with four home runs and 18 RBIs. What I remember, there were two images of Bobby Bonilla as a Met in 99. Number one is the thought of the poker game or the card game, whatever they were doing in the locker room.
That's become a legendary now.
Yes. But the other memory I have is at Shea Stadium, and he comes up as a pinch hitter. I don't even remember the situation he's facing. But he comes up as a pinch hitter and just gets booed as loudly as you'll ever hear a guy on your own team booed, right? First pitch, gets a base hit to right field. Gets to first base, and I was so proud of my fellow Met fans. They continued to boo him.
Did they?
Even after getting a base hit.
Did he give them the one-gun salute?
No, he gave them that arrogant, I make more than you smile always had.
He'll never wipe the smile off my
face. He always smiled. I give him credit.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter what was happening.
Well, you bring up Bobby. We'd love to get Bobby on, by the way. I mean,
We've tried.
Yeah, no way, huh?
He's respectfully declined.
Remember the time that he got into the thing? I forget who the official scorer was.
He
got into the whole thing about the official scorer and not giving. Was it giving him an error or him not giving him a hit? Whatever it was, I remember that. He made a big deal about it, too.
Well, I got to Google that because I remember
that
hearing about
that. I think that had to be his first, probably the first year he was there.
All right, here we go. Bobby Bonilla was from June of 1992, so you're right.
Yep.
He called up basically trying to get an official score decision changed. I'm trying to see in the article where it's at. I'll look it up. I'll give you an answer as the show
rolls on. Who was the official score? Do we know that?
I got to go through the article. I'll find it during our first break.
Let me know.
But I do remember.
I'm just asking. I don't know. It might have been him. I don't know.
That also does not make yourself look good with the New York fans the first year that you're here. That you're griping about an official scores decision.
No, absolutely. Anytime, but any time it doesn't look good.
But his legend has lived on because of tomorrow, because of the fact he gets over $1 million every year.
Like I said, I have great I like him now more than I did when he played for the Mets. I mean, that is just, if you can do that, bro, you are brilliant.
Or at least his agent is brilliant.
Well, whoever.
Whoever
came up with the idea, it was, you know, look, it's on Bobby's watch, so I'm going to give him the credit. How's that?
So you have not organized that into your contract at the Fan that 25 years from now, Chernoff's giving you?
I'm trying to get paid for the whole year, for this year. I'm trying to get paid for the year that I'm working. What are you talking about?
I understand.
25 years from now.
Oh, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.